Thank you very much, Sam. Thank you very much, everybody, for being here. May the Lord will bless our time and our meeting this evening. When Sam called out that number of that hymn, he was putting a seal on, I believe, what the Lord had given me to say, as you'll soon find out. I'm going to read three verses. They'll be scattered over the place, but we're used to that. I'd like you to come with me to John 3 and 16 first. I'm reading them because anybody that's listening in, and I hope they are, and they'll listen to what God's word says. John chapter 3, please. We'll just come in at verse 14 just to get the connection. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The verse is in Jeremiah, please. Jeremiah 31, please. Again, just to get the connection, chapter 31, verse 1. And at the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord. The people which left the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn thee. And the third verse is in Deuteronomy chapter 33, please. And Deuteronomy 33, we'll begin at verse 1 and we'll jump over to verse 26. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. There is none like unto our God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy. And we pray that the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word this evening. I would like you to consider the things that has been said this evening as you have recognised three of them was the words of everlasting. Everlasting means eternal. Because in Psalm 90 and verse 2 it says, before the mountains were brought forth, or even had us formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And so the everlasting is eternal. And we must look at eternal things, because that is what the gospel is. The gospel is good news. And from the beginning of the book to the end of it, it speaks of our Saviour and Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like a red thread right through it from start to finish. The gospel is good news for the preaching of the gospel. We bring good news. It's not bad news we want to bring. It's good news. And we pray that those that are listening in will consider what will be said tonight. So we're speaking on three verses which brings in everlasting. And why has that brought in? Well, as I was reading these verses, the problem was the disobedience of the people to the word of God. It's as simple as that. In other words, sin. It came in from Adam. Well, it came from Satan at the start. It came in from Adam. And it's been here ever since. God brought man into the world as to have fellowship with him. And we know that Adam fell and took of the fruit that they were forbidden to eat. And so that is where we've got the sin in us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's no other way we can get rid of that sin, only through the precious blood of our Saviour and Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, by accepting him as our Saviour. As we read in Deuteronomy, the final word of Moses to the nation of Israel, Deuteronomy means a second law or a repeated law by Moses. The nation owned the land by God's grace. They possessed the land by God's power, but could not enjoy the land unless they obeyed the word of God. And the nation disobeyed God, and God chastised them. In Deuteronomy 37, someone said it could be paraphrased. And they put it like this: above the everlasting. Above the everlasting is God. And beneath the everlasting is the arms. I thought that was a lovely thought. The eternal God is our refuge. And if you don't have a Saviour as your Lord and Ordain Saviour, if you're not saved by his grace and mercy that he has given you, you'll spend spend the rest of your time in a place that will be everlasting. It'll be eternal. And what a place that has been prepared, which was originally, as we know, prepared for the devil and his angels. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy before thee, and say, destroy. He was there to protect Israel, but they had to obey the word of God, and so shall we. We have to obey the word of God as well. The Lord Jesus Christ, that whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and him it cometh to me, and on no wise cast out. Says he must be born again. He went to Calvary's cross and shed his precious blood for mankind. If that didn't count for anything, why did he go? Yes, it counted. For God. The only way back to God was through his Son. And he was the only one that could pay the price for our salvation. In Jeremiah chapter 31, we read that the people sinned against God. It seems that's where it seems the way handing down to generations after generations. Man doesn't seem to change or seem to learn that God is a great loving God. He's an everlasting God. He's a God that his love never changes. He's a God that his word never changes. Not that some of the politicians that we have in our time, that what they make decisions one day and they change them the next day. But you can trust our God. You can trust the Saviour, because the Saviour gave his life a ransom price for us. So we find that the people sinned against God again in Jeremiah 31. And Jeremiah had a terrible time in his time, as we read this morning. The Jews put their confidence in the eternal religion rituals instead of letting God into their hearts, instead of believing him. The Jewish people have lost out, as we know, and that the Gentiles got the place of coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ and for salvation. Today, God is dealing with Israel, but it will be dispensationally that one day that they will be saved. But we find in Romans chapter 26, where we've just come along with it while we're here, and as we've mentioned that, Romans chapter 11, I think it is. And this is Paul speaking to the Roman, and he's saying, we could come in at verse 23 just to get a connection. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if they went cut out of the olive tree, which is the wild by nature, and went grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these which be natural, the natural branches, be grafted in their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in the part of is happened to Israel, unto the fullness of the Gentiles, be it come. And it will be changed when the Lord comes back, and that they will be saved. And it tells us this in verse 26, and so also, So all shall Israel be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them which shall take away their sins. And concerning the gospel, enemies for your sakes, but as touching election, beloved for the Father's sake. for gifts, for the gifts and callings of God without repentance. For as you in times past have not believed that God, yet you have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. And so the Gentiles were in a privileged position because they refused to believe, and we believed. But the world, the Jew will be saved. But friend, tonight you're getting the opportunity to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And it says this in 31, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they may obtain mercy. For God has concluded them all in unbelief, that they might have mercy upon all. In the depths of the riches of both of wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counsellor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For all of him, and through him, and to him, and all things, to whom be the glory for ever and ever. So the Jew will get his opportunity. But the Gentile is what we, the nation that we come from, that there's an opportunity there for us, because the Father has sent the Son. Everlasting life, we'll find it in the last two verses that we've read. It's for eternity. It's not just for a few days or a few weeks or a few years. It's for eternal. Forever. And so we find in John 3:16 that Nicodemus was a religious leader of the people. And as I said, everlasting means eternal, no end. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then it says in the next verse, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, although we are and we should be condemned, but to be saved. There's three things to be said about everlasting. First of all, it's unlimited. We cannot escape it or exhaust it. It's undeserved. There's nothing in us, nothing lovable in us that we can say we loved him. Sorry, there is nothing lovable in us, rather the reversible. We disobeyed him most of our lives. And is that not true? How often did the Lord talk to us? How long did it take for us to come to him? And even when we come to him, how are we doing the things that we should do, we're not doing? So God has given us every opportunity for to come to know him as Lord and Saviour. He's given everybody the opportunity to take salvation. For salvation is of the Lord and of no other. He said, come. Come unto me and be ye saved. Come unto me, all that are laboured and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly, and you find rest unto you, your soul. All we have to do is come. So easy, it's all been done for us. We don't have to pay for it. It's already been paid for. It's been paid upon the cross of Calvary. where the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life a ransom price for each and every one of us. "It is finished," he cried, and he gave up the ghost. The Lord was buried, and on the third day he rose again from the dead, as the scriptures tell us. "Now seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf." Any of us in Christ this morning, we have access to that throne. Where do you stand this evening? So, it's unlimited, it's undeserved, and it's unanswered. For few people in the world can truly say, "We love him because he first loved us." People don't care about it. Many people have heard that. Many people have heard that because he first loved us. He loved us in our sin. He loved us in the terrible state that we're in. But how many people would truly say we love him because he first loved me? Circumstances comes into our lives. Some of us never heard the gospel. Some of us never read the word of God. How could we really say, "I love them"? The circumstances was brought upon us, and we were convicted through them circumstances, through the word of God, through the circumstances that we've come through. We came to Christ. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith this morning, for by grace we are saved through faith, is not of ourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I didn't know. That he first loved me. Did you? None of us knew. There's people out there that don't know, but we did. He first loved us. That's why he saved us. For he gave us grace, for by grace we're saved through faith, not of ourselves. Gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We have nothing to boast about this evening. I have nothing to boast about being up here. I'm only pleased to be able to witness and speak of a Saviour that bled and died for me at Calvary's cross. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. It's been said this morning. A new creation. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So all you have to do is accept. That change is there already for you. So how do you know if you don't listen to the word? You don't listen to people witnessing to you. How do you know? You try it. This is the same as anything else. You accept him at his word and take it from there. For remember, all have sinned and came short of the glory of God. And remember as well, for your sin, if it's not forgiven, there's wages for it. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. So there's a payment. The Lord has already paid at Calvary and shed his precious blood for sinners. And if you're going to reject that, there's a payment coming by you. Deuteronomy 4 and 2 tells us that you shall not add to the word of God which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord. The people were told that. We are told that we're sinners and we're condemned and we're unclean and we need to be saved. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, to save sinners. You don't believe that? We can't make you believe it. We can only tell you. You read the word yourself. But remember, there's a penalty to pay if you don't accept them. You have nothing to pay if you do accept them, because you'll be a changed man, a changed woman. There'll be life, eternal life, everlasting life, what we're talking about this morning. I can even give you his telephone number if you want to phone him and get in touch with him. It's Jeremiah 33 verse 3. Call and I will answer and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. We were ignorant when we first came. We've learnt a little. There's a lot we don't know. But what we know is that we're saved by his wonderful and marvellous grace, his wonderful and marvellous love, his wonderful, wonderful, wonderful salvation and redemption through his precious blood. The Father has accepted the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. In Romans chapter 1, please will you come with me? And come in at verse 16. We all know these verses very well, but you might know them, and so we'll read them out for you. And Paul could say, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, nor are we." That's why we're here tonight. Those sitting in the seats praying that somebody would hear it and get saved. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." There you are, you only have to believe. "The Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God," there it is, there's a wrath there. He's a loving God, he's a caring God, he's an everlasting God, he gives everlasting love. But friend, he's a God of wrath. "For the wrath of God is revealed from him against ungodliness, unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has showed it unto them." Look around you. Look around you at the minute. If you're sitting down in a room or wherever you're at, go to the window and look out and look to the skies and look round to the grass and the trees and the flowers. Look and see. "Because that which be known of God is manifested in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power." There you are. everlasting power, eternal power, and the Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Friend, tonight, you have no excuse if you die in your sin tonight. No excuse at all. There's a place waiting for you, and you'll be in it as quick as the breath is taken away from you. You've had the chance to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour. Well, friend, remember this. It tells you in verse 24 down here. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness and lusts of their own hearts, to dishonour their own bodies between themselves. He changed the truth of God into a lie and worship, and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave him up unto vile affections. For even unto the woman did not the change of natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also men, leaving the natural use of a woman, bonding their lusts one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was met. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up to a reprobate mind to the things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, and maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiting, haters of God, spiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil, and things disobedient to their parents. Today, parents can't talk to their children. They know better. Many times you see children kicking their mother or their grandmother. You would never have done it in our time. And so there's no obedience in our children, not them all. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. There's no mercy in mankind at the present time. And know what they're thinking about. It's only me, 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 me. They only think of themselves. They only think of herself. Who knowing that the judgment of God, that which they would commit such things, are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasures in them that do them. Friend, this evening, there's the nature of man. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Are you going to turn this offer down? Are you going to tramp this under your foot? Because if you do, you're lost. For this is the only way that you can come, by the word of God. Faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. No other way. The Lord is coming back. You may laugh at that, but the Lord is coming back to take his church home. And we'll be with the Lord eternally. Everlasting. We started off with the hymn, Everlasting. And we're through those pages with everlasting. It's eternal. God is an eternal God. He's a loving God. He's a caring God. He's a merciful God. He's a compassionate God. A friend. God is a God of wrath. If for he hates sin. He hates it. And the reason why he hated it, and the only way he could get rid of it, that his son gave his only son, begotten of himself, the only begotten son, gave him up that he might die and we might live. But friend, what a Saviour we have tonight. And he can be your Saviour tonight. All you have to do is come. This will finish with you. Come with me to 2 Thessalonians, please. Paul talking to the Thessalonians, and he says he's trying to comfort them in their persecution. And you do get persecuted. Saints will get persecuted. We get persecuted even today, because nobody wants to hear our side of the story. If you're speaking about salvation and speaking about God, you're turned off, or you're turned down, or there's something they don't want to know. And it says here in come on at verse 5 to get the connection. Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing which God, with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. He's talking to the saints now. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished, what have we got? Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because of our testimony among you was believed in that day. Friend, that's why we're coming here, to preach, tell you of a Saviour. Tell you of a Saviour that bled and died and gave his life a ransom. All you have to do is come. You're living a life, and it's not a good life. Oh, you think you're enjoying yourself. I thought I was enjoying myself. But it's not. I give you a better life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept him as your Saviour and you'll have a better life. And I tell you this, you'll have eternal life. And it'll be everlasting. Because his word is everlasting. It never changes. It is eternal. He's an everlasting God. He never changes. You can depend on him. So why don't you come tonight? For whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In him it cometh unto me, thou shalt no wise cast out. Pray the Lord and bless the reading of his precious word, and pray that souls will be come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. And pray you'll not reject it just like that. Pray you'll consider what was said here tonight and yet they come to know him. They went to Calvary and shed his precious blood for mankind. May the Lord bless you in his precious word. Amen. Father, we give you thanks and we praise you again for our time. Pray that your Father, you go before us and take thy word and use it to thy glory. It's your word. It's not my word. It's your word, Father. For thy word is truth. And may fill, Father, that will not return void unto thee. And there we leave it in your hands and give you thanks and praise you. For those that have listened in, we pray that, Lord, if they're committed anyway, Lord, we thank you for that. We pray that you'll go before them and undertake for them and guide them and what they've heard this evening. Pray, Father, for those that are here in the hall. You'll take us to our homes in safety. Let nothing befall us by the way. We give you thanks in the Saviour's love and precious name. Amen.
Amen.